This episode is brought to you by the European Coworking Assembly. We are everything Coworking Europe. If you head to the Coworking Assembly website, you can connect with our World Coworking, European Freelancers Week, Coworking Symposium, Coworking Library, and Coworking Tools.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the new sweeter-smelling Coworking Values podcast. And myself and my co-pilot, Jose, are going to introduce our new... Is regime a bit of a tough word?
No, it is okay.
It's okay. Our new regime, because we've been... All this year, we've been looking at how we do the Coworking Values podcast, and we really got in our swing about 2019... when Jelko got involved, and Jelko runs a co-working space in Serbia and an audio production company, but his production capability makes Henry Ford look like a wimp. And he really helped shape how we produce every week. And I think everything goes through cycles and bursts of energy. And we spent, and correct me if I'm wrong here, we spent a lot of the summer going, where should we go now with what we're doing? It's like we're a band and we've produced a lot of good albums and done a lot of good gigs, but now we need to find our spiritual home again. Is that how you're feeling, Jose?
Absolutely. I think we need something new, something fresh. I think that we need something where others are involved, right? It's not only who is invited to the podcast. I think that it's not only about you or me. I think that we need to start doing something connected with the power of we instead of the power of me.
Yep, that one-to-many thing is over. And so I think we got to come clean very early on. Is like we like my good friend David Bowie said, I don't know where we're going from here, but we can promise you it won't be boring. And we're going to... I'm very scared about this, folks, which is why I'm hesitating getting to it. We're going to try a whole season of experiments, and it's a lot of stuff both Jose and I have talked about with many of you. We've read books, we've been to courses and events and stuff. And rather than something neither of us could carry on is just producing a podcast interview every week that is something about co-working. And we looked at a lot of the other podcasts out there that like definitely, you know, fill a niche. Like you'll go to Caleb Parker for real estate. You'll go to Jamie Russo for how to run a co-working space. You'll go to Kat Johnson for how to market your co-working space. And John Eaves and Liz do podcasts about the attached to the events they run. And an area that isn't being served, but we are active in all the time, is that very local, rural, creator economy conversation, which we can't really see ourselves, but Jose and I are definitely part of. So do you want to have a little riff about the creator economy, Jose?
Yeah, how do you see it? I mean, what do you think is the business model of the creator economy?
I think it's about that people starting stuff. So I read... You know, we have our creator network in London, and I read a lot of stuff that, and I'm always suspicious of these things, you know, like in co-working, people say the co-working industry will be worth £25 billion by 2027. And there's a lot of, you know, what's the email thing you use?
ConvertKit.
ConvertKit are red hot on this and document it a lot. And there's a low percentage of people that own over 100K a year in the creator economy. But my gut feel, I haven't got data to back this up, is there's a lot of people who are, you know, in that, who are building the middle class of the creator economy, and they are happier earning, like, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and 80,000 a year doing something they love and having autonomy, rather than, you know, earning 150K a year slogging it out in an office they have to go to because the bloke still thinks it's 2018, or, you know, there's a lot of freedom there. So the business model is, most people I know directly are either musicians or they're doing some kind of training or like in-person thing, or they're doing stuff on the internet. And I think we think everyone does everything on the internet in the creator economy, but there's people like using their skills who have chosen to put themselves out in the marketplace on their own, which is, you know, for a lot of us that have been around co-working and freelancing and business, just starting something seems like what everyone's doing because we're only surrounding by that. But in lockdown, so many people rushed onto the internet because it's the first time in their lives they've had freedom because of furlough to be able to do something. So does that answer the business model question? I think that was like a synopsis rather than a here's the business.
Yeah, I think that what we are trying to do is basically to adopt the creator's economy into our own initiative, right? So it looks to me like the podcast and whatever else we do around it is going to be connected with creator economy for ourselves as well. Am I right?
That is definitely what I'm thinking of, because going to like the last Friday event at Impact Brixton and meeting with those people there who are all YouTubers, magicians, artists, designers, they run food trucks, they, you know, do, I've left about 50,000 things off of it there. But they're all people that are, every Friday, on the last Friday of every month in Impact Brixton, around 100 people get together. And I thought I would hate this when I first went, but I loved it. We play games, we have a quiz. There's normally like karaoke or stand-up comedy at the end. And it's just an awful lot of, I don't even want to say like-minded, like people at different stages of their creator journey. And we sit around the kitchen table and people talk about, oh, what are you using? Oh, do you use MailChimp or ConvertKit? Are you doing a podcast? Are you doing a YouTube? How are you reaching those people? And they solve each other's micro problems as they go along. And I think that's the conversation I'm interested in being part of. And by doing a podcast, which is creating something, we bring ourselves in line with those people. And this is why we want to build a community where people can interact like that. So we're part of those and facilitating those conversations to a bigger group of people. Because there's people you and I talk to every week, Jose, which is how we got to this stage. How are you going to do that? What do you use for this? And there's that new business model conversation. And so many things I'm involved in are around new business models, and talking about new business models out loud is really interesting too. So
yeah, and you know what I see as an opportunity for us is that we have experience in community building. We have a lot of contacts. We have very similar values because we see how co-working values matter. And we are just trying to transform or to bring those values into a digital, I don't know how to say, scenario or digital place, right? Now, the question for me is, what are we going to do additionally? So after a podcast is published, in order to activate those co-working values?
Great question, Jose. So I think I've been podcasting nonstop since 2012. And something I struggled with was I thought I had to know everything about it. So if I interviewed a sailor, I would research everything to do with sailing from the last 100 years and then turn up and try and show how much I knew about sailing. But then I can't remember what it was. It was some course I did or workshop we did where there's a difference between being the expert and being the practitioner. And I think taking the role of, and so there's two little things going on here. Stay with me, folks. So we're hitting reset on the Co-Working Values podcast. So we have this like beginner's mind, and I'm sick of pretending that I know what I'm doing, because so many people know I don't know what I'm doing. But what's really exciting is being the practitioner and making, you know, documenting the process, making it up as we go along. Remember Lenneke from Seats to Meet always used to say about building the plane as it takes off, which was sounds slightly mad, but very exciting. So we have that working it out together thing. And then the place we've chosen is to go to Discord and start a community there. So people can come to the podcast, which will always be free, and the emails and everything will always be free. And then, you know, hundreds of people listen to this every month. And then there's a few people that will have the time, energy, and inclination and curiosity to go deeper, and we'll take them into Discord and we'll have conversations there. And if it's all right with you, Jose, one of the things I'd love to explore there is that new business model thing, because a never-ending conversation in the creator economy and in co-working is like, how do I make money? How much can I rent a desk for? And it's almost like people sleepwalk into those conversations because they think they have to have those conversations to look like a proper grown-up business person. But when you get to the other messy side of it, there's a lot of constant tweaking and working it out and trying to find ways to do stuff. And one of the things I've always loved about being in the types of co-working spaces I've been in is people teach each other. So it's like amazing for education and career development in a way that's not that obvious.
Yeah, it comes out of the conversation, right? It becomes kind of an automatic process, right? So when you bring these people together and someone just voices a need or a problem or an idea, something happens, right? And I guess that what you're going to say is that you want to bring this into this digital community.
That is it. That's because over lockdown, I mean, in the London Co-working Assembly, twice a week we had it was like midday, Tuesday and Thursday, we had an online call. And it was only for half an hour. And sometimes, you know, seven people would show up. And then when it was about business rates and someone from the local government showed up, like 40 people came. And it was exhausting and adrenaline fueled and in the middle of lockdown and everyone was panicked and it really, really helped. But there was something very cool about, not even cool, like very meaningful about having a regular, pretty informal touch point where we were, how are you going to sort this out? And it wasn't a webinar. It was a dialogue and a conversation. And as people, and that, I think that cemented that in the London Co-working Assembly, in that group of people, and this is available to everybody, in that group of people, it really cemented trust and relationships. Particularly, I remember right near the beginning, people would show up who previously had been letting you think that they had six Lamborghinis and a helicopter and had lunch with Elon Musk every week. And they came to the call and went, I'm fucked. How am I going to get out of this? And then people became very vulnerable and open and started helping each other up. And that has set the pace for going forward. And then if you go back a few weeks ago, we were in Porto with Vika Simone and myself, and people from Cost Action organized co-working, Nativo co-working in Porto. And it was almost like that same atmosphere in Porto. I think there was like 30 people in a room all day in a co-working space talking about how co-working's unfolded and where to go and what to do. And having that in an online environment that's attached to a podcast. So the podcast is, instead of being like Bernie and Jose talking at you or our guests, which is a very, you know, one-to-many thing, we then take it into Discord and everyone can join in. And I know that's really important to you as well, Jose. That dialogue is where the energy and magic is.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've learned so far since I moved to Europe, so in 20 years, is that each time that I try to make something where I am the founder, it doesn't work so well. But each time that I start something where I'm not the protagonist, everything works better, right? Even the co-working space, Aurora Co-working, started with Jose as the founder, and it was not so successful. But as soon as we manage to empower the members of this co-working space, everything improved. So I think that the idea of the podcast now is not about the hosts. It's not even about the speakers or the guests. It is about, it might be about the conversation that happens afterwards, where the experience and the point of view of everybody, every community member matters and adds meaning to the conversation, right? So it's an informal process of learning and teaching, maybe. Maybe sharing is better than teaching, that produces something that no one can imagine, right? And if what I said is correct from your point of view, Bernie, I think that we become just facilitators for a community to express themselves.
That works for me. I'm sorry for the delay in my thing there. I was like massaging it in my head. The thing that's most interested me since the end of last year is this creator economy thing. And then when I looked back over so many things I've taken part in, there's two threads. One's co-working and one's what people would now call the creator economy. And I've always liked the idea of people who are starting things and have been brave enough to build things from like what Janine calls kitchen table entrepreneurs. There's people, you know, particularly women who were like, when Janine moved to the Netherlands, she was female, over 50 and foreign, because she moved from Atlanta to the Netherlands. And it was very hard for her to get funding to grow Dicama, which is a co-working space. So there were barriers in her way. And then she found a way around those barriers and, you know, accidentally opened 9 co-working spaces in the Netherlands. And one of the things about the people I know the most of in creator economy is they find a way to make it happen. And most of the time they find a way to make it happen either by connecting with people on the internet or connecting with people in real life, which is a very different energy from I'm going business networking. And, you know, again, in that spirit of co-working, you know, the connecting and helping people out. And I know for some people listening, you go, that's a really romantic idea. Nearly everything that's in my life nowadays has come from wandering into a co-working space in 2010.
Yeah. Including me. I mean, my whole co-working thing started when I went to visit the Impact Hub in Vienna, and I returned home after a couple of days thinking, I this is exactly what I want for my life, is a place where I can talk with people that I don't know and people that can find valuable what I have to say. And I can get value also from listening to the others. You're the place of interaction. And after almost 10 years having my own co-working, I learned that what we are trying to solve is loneliness. And it's not a loneliness, like a dramatic loneliness. It's, we need people to talk to about what we are going through. And we need those persons to be in a similar path so that we can relate, right? So the at least in my co-working space, the common ground is entrepreneurship entrepreneurship in general. Even social impact is one of those topics. And then when I talk with them, they understand what I'm saying. And when they have to say something, I understand where they are as well. So that's beautiful. We find common ground. And it looks to me that what we're trying to do, Bernie, is to bring this co-working idea towards a digital community, right? So maybe our question is, how do we build kind of a co-working digitally? What do you think about that?
I think that's what we're trying to do, but I wouldn't call it that. because I think actually, you know, I'm going to take that back. Sorry, because having an online co-work, this is what we did in the London co-working space I don't mean everything we're going to do is what we did there, but we called it the online co-working space for people that run a co-working space. That feels right. Because why I jumped on that, don't call it that, and then had to, my mouth was ahead of my brain there, is because I see people saying join our online co-working space, and really what they've done is open a Zoom room, and for some people that's enough. So every Wednesday I'm part of a thing called the Writing Room, which is part of this writing storytelling community I'm part of, run by my friend Susan. And we just open Zoom, we say what we're going to write, and then have the camera open, and I do more work in an hour and a half every Wednesday morning with 8 people from around the world, you know, being in a Zoom call, than I do with other things. And I've lost my thread now, but that's it. Can I backtrack there and say we're making an online co-working space for people that run a co-working space. And if you consider yourself part of the creator economy, we'll let you slip into. But I think there's something that, as we were talking before we started recording, the exploring new business models is something I'd like us to be the promise. So I don't mean every call we have is like, you know, about cryptocurrency and blockchain, but there's ways, there's so many ways that have already been done and have not been done yet in order to build a sustainable business. One of the things that you also mentioned and comes up a lot in the stuff we do is, you know, it's a big thing for Janine and Alex, is people always think they need more funding than they actually need, and they don't need $1 million in investment. They need $500,000 to buy some stuff, and they need community, and they need people to bounce ideas off of, and they need direction, and they need connections. And that's a lot of, it's not something we put on the website, because it's very hard to, you know, we're not trying to sell people connections, but, you know, in a lot of things I'm in, it's people sit down and they think they need to hire someone, pay someone £100,000 to build a website. And then someone goes, oh, why don't you just use Kajabi and WordPress? And my mate Dan does that, and here we go. And they found the configuration they need in that moment to solve their problem.
Right. So what you're talking about is facilitating business models for the community members as well. So this podcast and this community is not only a place where Bernie and Jose are going to make business, but it's also a place where the participant members can join or create new business models.
Definitely. There's, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking of all the people I've met over the years who have run a co-working space and done something else other than just rent a desk to people. And they've run, you know, community groups online and offline. They've, you know, run a lot of events. They, you know, and the how to, well, it sounds so crude, but it's absolutely necessary. The how to monetize your co-working space is just how you keep the energy alive. And when, you know, if your co-working space or your project is sustainable and you can breathe, it's a lot easier to help other people. It's that kind of put your oxygen mask on first kind of thing. And there's a few people, as I'm talking, it springs to mind, is they're so busy running, trying to keep their project or co-working space alive, they haven't got time to think about what else they could do in there. You know, they haven't got time to research the bit they'd need to do this other thing.
Yeah, and there's a moment when they figure that they need support.
Can you just say a little bit about how many times you had to move co-working space in the last few months?
That was crazy.
There's a couple of things about, you know, I moved from London, where I've just been part of the evolving, ever-evolving co-working system since 2010 to, so I moved from a city of 8 million to a region of, I think it's about 300,000 people live here. And instead of 15 million co-working spaces, there's 15 co-working spaces. And I hardly know anyone here, which is half the reason for moving here. So that was a big life shift, which we'll get to in another episode. And then I think even more pertinent to people in the co-working environment is the story of packing up. Why I started saying that is it was like traumatic enough moving country and packing up our flat and opening it again here. So packing up a co-working space and opening it again as many times as you did is something to
This was amazing to me and completely unexpected. So what happened is we had been using a space for, I think, more than 7 years. So we were perfectly settled. Everything worked as we wanted, and the community was used to that space. But the bank that was giving us the space decided to not giving it to us anymore, and to actually to not give it to anyone. And we had 30 days to move. So that was already traumatic. Fortunately, we found a place and we moved. Now the problem is that we found that that place was incomplete. There were infrastructure things missing, and also there was a misalignment of values with the land owners. So we didn't know what to do. We got into a crisis, and we decided to leave also in less than a week. So we found another place that is where we are today. So we basically moved twice. This year we have been in three different places. And it is not the problem of moving the furniture. It is the problem of how you transfer the responsibility of the move without losing community cohesion. So I think that this process took me almost half a year, although moving took maybe, 2 weeks or 3 weeks in total. I'm still managing the community in our new place because there are things that are still missing. And it was just incredible. But the most amazing thing is that we didn't lose any member. Actually, we have more members now. And everybody is more identified than ever with our initiative. So it was a crazy situation that really helped us to get together and to find new ways of relating. So I think that the key factor was the community building and the community management. So we gave power to each other. We empowered ourselves to participate in the drama of having to move from one place to the other and to keep the party in peace, right? And that was a magical thing to see. Now I feel like ready for anything, knocking wood, of course. And I think that if that can be replicated in other co-working spaces, that would be so fantastic. The key factor here was that everyone had the same amount of power to make decisions. So in one of the moves, we had some members that were more active. In the other one, we had other members that were more active. And it was kind of a very fair distribution of responsibilities. And we didn't spend a lot of money hiring services to move. We got our own cars, our own hands, and yeah, everything just worked fantastically well.
There's places I've been in where there's been a huge upheaval, and everyone was there at the time of the upheaval has been connected. There's one space, Main Yard, I was in, where they did a lot of, it's like 2013, everything got moved around and they built offices in there, and people, when was that? Nearly 10 years ago now. And there's still people from that group, and we're all connected nowadays still. And I think part of it is because we, not that Main Yard did something traumatic to us, but part of that was because we went through this big change together and kind of held each other's hands as we leapt. And, you know, and that includes Tori, who is one of the owners of Main Yard. So I need to bring us to the end here. So what we're going to do, folks, is we haven't set it up yet, but if you're listening to this in the future, there'll be a link in the show notes to a Discord channel, and that will be paid. And probably, you know, hundreds of people listen to this every week. And what will happen is a few of you will go in there over time. And we're looking for early adopters and people to help build the community and conversation, which will always run alongside the Co-Working Values podcast going through. So there is an undeniable amount of risk there, but it will work. And if it either work or it won't, and we've spent long enough doing other things like this to know that this will work in some shape or form, but we are looking for people who want to be part of the conversation very, very early on, who will help shape that Discord channel. And we've chosen Discord because it's the one my son knows and he thinks I'm cool for using Discord, but also there's a lot of other features in there that are like, and I know there's, you know, both Jose and I have had been part of conversations over the last decade of what channel to use for what. And the one I feel most at home on, I haven't used it as much as other things, but the one I feel most at home on is Discord, and it's part of that open sourcery gaming kind of thing. And some of the co-working spaces I know, particularly like the Cube in Athens, that is a little bit more geeky, use Discord, and that's why we're attracted to it. Is that the same as you feel?
100%. There's something else that I think we need to clarify before we leave, and is the changes on the podcast itself. Right, we talked about having themes, so kind of seasons where we're going to talk about one theme in particular, invite guests about that. I don't know if you have something to add.
Yeah, we're going to go every 2 weeks and do a slightly longer but more well thought out and in-depth podcast, and we're going to follow themes. Because what happened this year is you know my dear Jose, who did some exceptional work there as Russia invaded the Ukraine, Jose jumped in and started doing these amazing podcasts, which took a long time to produce, and they were reactive in a very positive way, and they helped. I think we all kind of went through something there together. One of the things that happened back in February was there's a few people that were part of the European Co-Working Assembly, and we just jumped on a call and said, like, what can we do? And then someone said, oh, let's just post a Zoom call and see what happens. And at that time, we were coming out of lockdown and people are like zoomed out. And 70 people showed up on that call, and Vika kind of joined the call from her car on the way to Hungary. And, you know, it was a huge moment. It was almost like what you were saying about moving co-working spaces. You know, the whole of the co-working assembly showed up in exactly the right moment and exactly the right time. And, you know, did people in all the countries around the Ukraine were going out of their way to help things. And then we fell into this pattern of like, what are we going to do now? But everything seemed to be in a kind of whirlwind. And now, and it was quite reactive and last minute. And we were in the Slack channel the WhatsApp channel with Z going, what can we do this week? And doing something every 2 weeks, excuse me, folks, doing something every 2 weeks, which is less podcasts and more conversation in Discord, is the direction to do it. And then following a theme. So if you want to, you know, probably the co-working values are going to be the guiding thing for that. So if you want to talk about sustainability, but you don't want to talk about accessibility, you don't have to pay so much attention that month. And that's where we are. But again, you know, we're pretty set on that. But again, it's all an experiment going forward. We're like we used to say in WeShare, we're always in beta.
I would love to hear what others have to say once they listen to this conversation, because I think that in time we're going to enrich the community and the podcast when we receive more feedback and more comments and interests from whoever that is listening to this.
It is. That's one of the main reasons to get in that Discord channel, folks, is to help co-create what we're doing here. And, you know, it's not going to be 16 million people turning up to kick the tires. The reason it has a paid entry is because we want a few people who are able to commit to building something together with us here. And then that will have a knock-on effect on other projects around the co-working community in Europe. So I think it's my helicopter is about to leave, so I need to go. Jose, is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
No, nothing. I'm really looking forward for this Discord community and to see what's the reaction of our networks.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jose, because when you first proposed this, I was petrified, and I think I'm going to feel the fear and do it anyway. So thanks very much for your time and attention today, folks. If you go to coworkingassembly.eu, you can join the European Coworking Assembly newsletter, which comes out every week. And we've had a couple of issues with our website, but now Saskia's got it back on track. And also, we'll put a link in the show notes. You can find Jose and I. Best place is LinkedIn. Is that the same for you, Jose?
It is.
It is. And be careful out there, folks. It is a jungle.